You have been blessed by the ministry of Apostle Solomon Buckley and Fresh Wind International. Please consider supporting us by going to Cash App, $Prophet Solomon B. Again, that is $Prophet Solomon B. Also, if you would like to have a testimony, you could send us an email at freshwindinternational@gmail.com. If you would like to schedule for a personal prophetic ministry and prayer, you can also email freshwindinternational@gmail.com. God bless you. Through a terminology called, say, pneumaology. Say pneumaology, which is the study of the Holy Spirit. Pneumaology. P-N-E-U-M-A-T-O-L-O-G-Y. The study of the Spirit. The study of the Holy Spirit. Oh, today this is Pentecost Sunday, and we're so thankful for the person of the third person of the Trinity, which is the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we're thankful for the person, the work of the Holy Spirit, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, and the continuation of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in our church life. And so we are so thankful. So Lord Jesus, we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you are what? The Savior, the healer, the divine healer, divine physical healer. You are the what? The baptizer. With the who? With the Holy Spirit. And then we're thankful that he is the what? The soon coming King. Yes. Okay. So Lord God, we just thank you for that today in Jesus' name. I want to bring up something before we go through our message today. There was a discussion last week about there was someone here that was, we were having a discussion after the message last week. And there was a discussion concerning a particular word. And that word was interfaith. Anybody remember that? Mm-hmm. And we as a church here at Rock of Salvation, we do not endorse interfaithism. What is that? You know, so you asked me, what is that? Mm-hmm. Well, if you remember, in the end times, it said that people would be drawn away into all types of teachings, mm-hmm. false teachings. Mm-hmm. Am I correct? Mm-hmm. Well, when you start mixing interfaith, basically what you're saying is that all roads lead to God.
Okay.
Okay. So when you hear that terminology, it sounds good. But as we look at the scriptures, we find that it's not good. When you start having groups that are intertwining, doing interfaith services with Christians and Buddhists and Muslims and Mormons and all of these different organizations, all up under one roof, is nothing but a ball of confusion. And all we're doing is trying to pat each other's back and we just tolerate. Mm-hmm. We as soldiers in the army of the Lord, we have no time to tolerate anything. We have to advance the kingdom of God. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. So we, as a church, we do not endorse interfaith practices. While yet there are people that all people are welcome to come and worship here. But when it comes to the word of God as our final our final authority. Amen. Amen. While that being said, I want to address something else before we go to the word this morning. There was a text message that I, an inbox that I received this week from an individual that came to speak here last week. And basically, they called themselves trying to correct me in a text message, basically saying that since they're an older person, and they try to use scripture to twist it to make it look like that I was in the wrong for correcting what was not in the Word of God that was presented during a time that really could have took us to a really bad place. Amen. This person got up and they said, in so many words, they said, the church is in a drought. The church is asleep. The church needs to wake up. Well, we are woke. We got up. We made it here way before the time of our Sunday morning service. We're awake because if we were asleep, we would not have a hunger for God's word. We wouldn't have a hunger to meet with each other. Sometimes you got to really read between the lines and really ask the Lord, Lord, what is this person really saying? You know, is this really what you're saying? And I was sitting here in my seat and I'm like, God, you're not saying this. And as I went through the scripture, the book of Acts, the church that was founded on Pentecost, they were alive. Amen. And we're alive.
Amen.
We're alive.
Amen.
You know, how many times have Bishop Buckley and I, Bishop has called me and says, Solomon, we're going to go over and we're going to support an evangelism project that one of the other bishops in town is doing. And we went over and supported that project many times, Bishop Birmingham, to be exact. How many times has Sister Freeman, Minister Freeman, one of the pastors here at this church, how many times has she gone out and fed the homeless and been the hands and feet of Jesus Christ with the organization that her daughter is doing? If she did not believe the word of God, for real, she wouldn't do missions work, do urban missions here in the city. She would just say, okay, I'm going to wait for Jesus to do that. You know what I mean? I'm going to wait for Jesus to do that. I mean, if we're dead, look at this, y'all. I would not wake up every morning and go spend my time with children that are not mine. You know, that's my assignment from God. I wouldn't go and be a minister in the education mountain, intertwining with all kinds of people, if I was dead needed to be woke up.
All right.
So we really have to listen to what people are saying. I want to tell you what was being said. That was a word curse that was being spoken over our house. That was a word curse. And people can speak. Bible says that life and death come out of the power, out of the tongue. So we have to be so very careful what we say and make sure that we're hearing from the Lord and not from our own spirit.
All right.
Regina Shank used to ask us when we used to submit prophetic words and stuff to her. Most of you know that I was trained by her into the apostolic ministry, even though Jesus showed me a lot of things, but he used her during that period of time to mentor me. And one of the things she would ask, and I ask this question when somebody submits, says, God told me.
All right.
I said, well, whose spirit told you that? Was it the Holy Spirit?
All right.
Is it your spirit?
Ooh.
Or is it a demonic spirit that spoke? Who told you? And most of the time, if they cannot answer me, I've watched Regina, when I traveled with her those 14 years, I watched her tell the person, I'm sorry, you can't give that word.
All right.
That word is actually for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's a personal word for you. I remember one time I was at Glory of Zion and I had a word. And I walked up to Chuck Pierce's brother with the word. And I walked up to the gatekeeper. The gatekeeper said, "That's nice. Go and you know, be seated." You know, I went up to Chuck Pierce's brother. And I said, "Keith, this is the word that the Lord showed me." And Deborah DeGar was standing right next to me. And Deborah DeGar was listening to the word. And Deborah DeGar looked at me. She said, "Solomon," she said, "that word is actually for you." He said, "It's not even for the corporate house." He said, it's for you. A lot of times we have to use discernment when things like that are happening. So we're talking about the study of the Holy Spirit. Now, in the book of Acts, we see that the church is empowered by the Holy Spirit. And the church is the ecclesia, which, if you remember when Brenda Adams Robinson came and spoke to us, she spoke to us and gave us notes, a whole seminar on the church and the kingdom. And she gave us the terminology about the ecclesia, which is God's ruling, governmental, legislative body. We're a legislative body just like Jefferson City. There's the capital there. They are a legislative body. They are promoting the laws of the United States of America and also the Missouri laws and making sure that everything is intact and that things are being legislated righteously for this state of Missouri. Whether you're on the Democrat side, whether you're on the Republican side, whether you're in the in-between side, whether you don't know what side that you're on, you still have to follow the rules of this state.
Amen.
And also the rules of this country. Mm-hmm. So we are a legislative body. That means that because we're a legislative body, we have a constitution. Our constitution is the word of God.
All right.
Our constitution is the word of God. That's where we stand. Everything that we practice, everything that we do should come from the word of God. Not from because grandma did it, and great grandma did it, and because that's what the slave master brought over to us. Everything that we practice should come from the word of God. So, next question. It was spoken in the sermon last week. That Christianity is dead. That Christianity is dead. And I'm just sharing this with us because I want truth to prevail. That Christianity is dead. Well, if you say that Christianity is dead, you're saying that Christ is dead.
All right.
You're saying that Christ is not coming again. Mm-hmm. If you're saying that Christianity is dead. Another thing that I want to hit on is that the Jesus that we serve, he's not black, he's not white, he's the Lord of all nations.
Amen.
He's not coming back for black folks.
Mm-hmm. Come on now.
He's not just coming back for white folks. He ain't just coming back for yellow people. He ain't just coming back. He's coming back for all nations.
All right.
Will be drawn to him. All nations will bow before him. You know, when he comes back, you know, we're going to sit at the judgment seat, you know, and be judged for what we done, you know. So to say that Christianity is dead, we're saying that Christ is dead. Mm-hmm. Am I right? We're saying that Christ is dead. Mm-hmm. So today we're going to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, baptism with the Holy Spirit. And so we believe that Rock of Salvation, we believe that the baptism with the Holy Spirit empowers believers and that the Holy Spirit's incoming follows the same pattern that is described in the New Testament. Wow. The baptism with the Holy Spirit, we believe that the baptism with the Holy Spirit empowers believers. Question, are you empowered as a believer?
Amen.
Yes.
Are you empowered as a believer? One thing that the Holy Spirit does, the Holy Spirit empowers us to do what? Jump shout. Now that's wonderful. We do dance before the Lord. That's just an outward expression of what is inwardly in us. But that's not the only expression. Does that make sense? There's some churches that that classify themselves as spirit-filled churches, where the believer is moreover empowered in a Sunday morning service and a Wednesday night service, but your life doesn't reflect that so-called empowerment of the Spirit. Yeah. So we got to have a balance so that we're not driven to excess in our walk of Christianity, in our walk of living a Spirit-filled life.
Yeah.
And I've been wanting to teach on this for a long time, and what's in me is coming out of me. That's why if you eat trash, that's what's going to be in your system.
Yeah.
But if you eat things that are wholesome, that's what's going to come out of you.
Amen.
And so we believe as a church, and Bishop Buckley and I have been talking about our doctrinal statement, and we have been reading the Declaration of Faith by Foursquare, by the Foursquare Church, and we like it. We like it. We sense like that it fits our church. It fits what we're doing, what we're called to do. And so we're gonna start teaching these things, you know, these truths to God's people, because God's people need them. So the baptism with the Holy Spirit empowers believers, and that the Holy Spirit's incoming follows the same pattern that is described in the New Testament. So turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 4, which is a familiar passage of scripture. Eventually, we will pass out copies of the Declaration of Faith as things transpire and as the Lord does some different things with us in the days ahead. We'll be passing out copies so that everybody can have a copy of the Declaration of Faith, so we can all know, kind of be able to be familiar with it. And so that those that are teaching can understand what we believe. Amen. That's very important, that if you're going to teach something, the people that really should be teaching are the people that have the DNA of the house. Amen. Mm-hmm. The people that have the DNA of the house and understand the DNA of the house, they won't come in and bring something else, because they already know that this is not where we're going. This is not where we're headed. So in
Acts 2, what?
Acts 2:4. So let's start at the first verse. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were with one accord in one place. There was a mutual consent. There was a mutual consent. They actually wanted to be there.
Mm-hmm.
One thing about the church now is the Lord is calling us to want to be there, to have a mutual agreement of this is our why. That's why it's important to have a mission statement. That's why it's important to have a vision statement, so that people can know the why of why are we coming here? Why are we here? And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house. There was a sound. There was a sound. Mm. Has the sound in you been shut off? Has the sound in you been shut off?
Preach.
You know, last week, Brother LaJuan and I decided that we were going to do something different. And we decided that we were going to go out to a social event. And I listened to the sound. And I looked at LaJuan. I said, this is not the sound that we're used to. I said, it wasn't a bad sound, but this is not the sound that we're used to. And we just kind of patted each other on the shoulder and we said, but it's a good sound, but it's not our sound. You got to know what the sound is. When they came in one accord, there came a sound from heaven. Many times Jesus is saying, I'm leaving the Holy Spirit with you to empower you. And when the sound comes, we reject it. We reject it. Just like the Pharisees and the Sadducees rejected Jesus. They rejected him because he was healing the sick and raising the dead on the Sabbath day. On the Sabbath day. And there are those that are on this Sunday that are rejecting the sound. They're rejecting the sound because guess what? They don't want him.
Come on.
And so he goes somewhere where he's welcomed. He goes to a place where he's welcomed.
Teach.
So as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. The house was filled with the Shekinah glory of the Lord. The Shekinah glory of the Lord. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So we believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit empowers believers, and that the Holy Spirit's incoming follows the same pattern that is described in the New Testament. Do we see that premise of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in Scripture this morning? Yeah. There are other scriptures that coincide that. Acts 10 and Acts 19. Mm-hmm. When the Holy Spirit fell upon the house of Cornelius. Have you read that? Mm-hmm. When the Holy Spirit fell upon those that had not heard of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. They had not heard. They had been baptized unto John's baptism. Am I correct? And they said, we have not heard of the Holy Spirit because we have been baptized according to the baptism of repentance. Am I correct? Amen. Amen. So let's go to the Spirit-filled life this morning. This is also in the Declaration of Faith. We believe that it is the will of God that we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay. Does that mean I'm walking around looking at people and going up in Walgreens? Ooh, I feel the Spirit because I'm Spirit-filled. Is that what Spirit-filled life is?
No.
You know what? The Holy Spirit is a gentleman.
Yes, he is.
He doesn't make you look like an idiot.
No,
he doesn't
look like a fool.
I think we need to talk about that. The Holy Spirit doesn't make you look like an idiot. And he doesn't draw attention to himself. He draws attention to Jesus. So if you're in the marketplace and you're working a normal job, please be a spirit-filled Christian. Doesn't mean you're walking around praying in the spirit. A spirit-filled Christian walks in the power of the Holy Spirit and don't have to say a word about Jesus.
Amen. Come on now. Amen. Preach.
You know, when you're in that board meeting with your boss,
all right.
This is how the spirit-filled life goes. I remember there was a situation that happened on my job. And the boss came to me. Now, walking daily in the power of the Holy Spirit, I had made an error. Some of you remember that error. I had made a major error. But it wasn't too major for God.
All right.
And the Lord spoke to me. He said, Solomon, he said, I'm going to vindicate you in the midst of this error that you made on the job. And there were people that had to be called in. And before the boss looked at me, she said, Solomon, what are we going to do about this error that you made? Because it was actually an error. It was a paperwork error on our end. And we looked at the camera, and what we saw in the camera was you actually did what you were supposed to do. But because of this error, it's going to make a major effect on the way that we do business here. Mm-hmm. So she said, I need a plan of action from you. Now, you're the boss. You're running a center of over 100 children. licensed for over 100 children. And here you are asking me for the strategy this job. So I remember I went to the Lord. I said, Lord, what do you want to do? And the Lord said, I've already given you the answers. I've given you the answers. So all of a sudden, I began I said, Lord, I need a strategy from heaven. I couldn't get up and start speaking in tongues. I had to just say, Lord, reveal to me what you're saying right now. And the Holy Spirit gave me a strategy. You hear me? The Holy Spirit gave me a strategy. He said, tell them to put all the names on one sheet from now on. And I told her, I said, our plan of action to give to, because the legal people have been called in. Legal people, lawyers have been called in behind this situation. Because it was a legal situation. With a legal matter. They had to call in a lawyer. They had to call in the state. They had to call in all these people. So there were the division here and child care people on the other end from the state of Missouri. And she told me, she said, we're going to write this, our plan out. And when these legal people come and when these state people come, we're going to say the same thing that was on the piece of paper. We're going to tell it to them. When them people came, now I had the boldness to give her the strategy. Them legal people came. They were sitting on one side of the table. The Division of Family Service was sitting on the other side of the table. These other people were sitting in the middle, and I'm shaking in my boots at this time. And the Lord said, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. Don't you back down. Don't you dare back down. And they said, well, what's the plan of strategy? The plan of strategy is that we're going to put the children's names all on one paper. Are you sure that's your strategy? Yes, this is the strategy. And I'm sitting there shaking in my boots because I've never been here before. I could have went to jail. I could have went to jail if I didn't have a strategy. Ooh. Here I am standing here saying, the strategy is we are going. We do not like recess. So. Now here I am saying, Lord, reveal to me. That was the Holy Spirit.
Come on now.
That was the Holy Spirit. That was the work of the Holy Spirit. When I'm about to make a bad decision, the Holy Spirit is saying, you know what, Solomon? I would not say that. I would not do that. That's the Spirit-filled life. Spirit-filled life ain't this.
Amen.
Come on now.
Amen.
That's not the Spirit-filled life.
It sure ain't.
That's an outward expression of what should be inward. Shouting and dancing, that's not what they experienced on the day of Pentecost. Mm-hmm. Look at this. They experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. People were amazed because they heard them speaking in their own tongue. Then they were like, what's going on? Because all these people, we know what language these people speak. And they're speaking in our language. And then they became saved because of what they heard. And they wanted to know the Messiah. Who the Messiah was. And that's how the church grew from leaps and bounds. So we believe that the Holy Spirit, that it is the will of God that we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. So go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, 30 through 32. And I've taught on this before, but I felt like since we're talking about this is Pentecost, we need to talk about it again. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God.
All right.
By whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ, God in Christ, have forgave you. Let me go to drop to the footnote here. Corrupt communication, and Minister Freeman's talked about this many times in our teaching sessions. Corrupt is decayed, rotten, as used for spoiled meat, rotten fruit, or crumbled stones. That's in a footnote of the Spirit-Filled Life Bible. The Holy Spirit has sealed, authorized as a representative, and dwells in the inner man. If he is grieved, the believer will be the first one to know.
That's right.
Grieve means to cause injury or distress. Many times you have a lot of Christians, the precise feeling the believer senses when sin or disobedience finds its place. So the same Holy Spirit that empowers you to shout and dance, speak in other tongues, move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discernment of the Spirit, okay, right? That same Holy Spirit is grieved when you jump into bed with somebody that's not your husband.
Right.
Let's talk about it. We talk about the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit of teacher.
That's right.
You jumping into bed with somebody that's not your husband or not your wife.
All right.
The same Holy Spirit that you up dancing about, speaking in tongues, using the gifts of the Spirit ought to be the same Holy Spirit that convicts you in the midst of that. Amen?
Amen.
Or ought to convict you when you're going to cut somebody off on the road.
All right.
Mm.
Are going to speak evil of your neighbor.
Come on now.
Right? Or speak evil of somebody. We've all been there. Some of us are works in progress. Some of us have matured beyond those stages. Some of us are still in those stages. I remember something that Sister Lorene Rogers told me a long time ago. And she said, Solomon, she said, there are Christians that are saved. And LaJuan, you remember this from the ECC days, Evangelistic Center days. She said, some of these people right here in this church or in churches across the country, they're still in the alley.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I said, Sister Lorene, what you mean? She said, actually, well, listen to what I said. Some of these people are still in the alley.
Shut up, Solomon.
For real, they in the alley.
Come on now. Breathe.
They saved, mm-hmm. but they in the alley. They're still in the alley. They still got all this gunk.
Junk.
And junk and all this stuff. And it takes God to bring, the God of that brings deliverance and restoration to bring freedom to these people.
Amen.
So the work of the Holy Spirit. So the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit. We believe that the Holy Spirit has gifts to bestow upon Christians. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1 through 10. This is not a sermon. This is an actual class today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 through 11. How is it I get stuck with doing classes all the time? I guess this is part of my calling, right, Sister Freeman?
Amen.
Verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. That means I don't want you to be without knowledge. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God. Here it is. By the Spirit of God. There's two different spirits that are in operation when somebody is speaking. It's either the Spirit of God or the Spirit of the devil.
Come on now.
You must be able to discern. But no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. Okay. Accursed means an animal to be slain as a sacrifice, devoted to destruction because of its association with sin. The word has had evil connotation and with cinnamon with a curse. In a sacrificial scheme, this particular word means alienated from God without hope of being redeemed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by what? The Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit.
Okay.
That means it should be operating out from Jesus.
Amen.
There are difference of ministries, but the same Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That means it shouldn't be another Jesus. And some of you know what I'm talking about. It shouldn't be another Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus is an American. So why are we trying to make an American Jesus because we're Americans? Mm-hmm. Or trying to make a Jesus out of a politician?
Mm-hmm.
That ain't Jesus. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same Lord who works in all. But the manifestation is given to each one for the profit of all. For one is given the word of wisdom, my time is going up, through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge, through the same Spirit. To another, faith, by the same Spirit. That means it's not a different spirit.
Amen.
It's not a different spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody come in here telling you that the Spirit of God is saying this, and then they start getting into other stuff, then you know it's not the Spirit of God.
Amen.
They telling you take this crystal home with you for 21 days, and you know that ain't the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Or they telling you, well, you gotta do this and do this, then you know that's not the Spirit of God. What spirit is it? That's the question. It's not the Holy Spirit. It's a counterfeit spirit in operation. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different types of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one in each one individually as he wills. So it's not our job to bestow anything upon you. It's the Holy Spirit's job to bestow upon you the gifts that he wants you to operate. Now, we all need to be knowledgeable. We all need to be educated. We all need to function in the gift that God has called us to. That's even with the ministries, the ministry gifts. We need to know what the ministry gifts are so we can know when an apostle is before you, then you understand, okay, this he's going to release, you're going to see signs, wonders, and miracles. If they're a teaching apostle, like I am a teaching apostle, there are times that signs and wonders happen in my ministry. But what I am known by is teaching the word of God. And there are times where God puts me on assignments where all I do is pray over businesses and business leaders. And sometimes I've gotten a chance to minister to some celebrities. I've gotten a chance to minister to different ones. But my assignment is primarily teaching the word of God, leading people into the presence of God, giving strategies to other ministries at times, helping, being there to be an advocate for the body of Christ and helping to stir things up to create new entities and different assignments. Amen. But if you didn't know that, you would be like, okay. And that we should show spiritual fruit as evident of a spirit-filled life. A lot of people want to talk about speaking in tongues, which that is what the Holy Spirit does. Amen. Baptizes and empowers believers. But a lot of times I don't hear about the spirit-filled life and the fruit that should come from your life. Mm-hmm. I hear a lot of emphasis on being empowered by the Holy Spirit. But the thing that is missing in a lot of churches today is God wants to empower you, but he's empowering you to do something. Mm-hmm. Sister Jennifer Thomas at Glad Tidings Assembly of God, she used to say it like this to us all the time. She said, God has not filled you so you could have a Pentecostal party.
All right.
He filled you and empowered you so that you can be a witness to the world of who Jesus is. Mm. He said, while yet we are Pentecostal, while yet we are spirit-filled people, we are a spirit-filled people. Our emphasis is not on a manifestation. Our emphasis is walking in the fruit of the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
So Galatians, this is my last scripture here. Galatians chapter 5, 22 through 25. And I know we've heard this until our hair has fallen out, until some of us, our hair has turned gray. But this is what the Lord would have for us today. Galatians 5, 22 through 25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Verse 24, and those who are Christ, having crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So with this spirit-filled life, there is a crucifixion, a crucifying of our own passions and our own desires. Wow. So that means when I want to fornicate, not only is it the fruit of the Spirit, but it's actually Jesus convicting me and saying, hey, I don't want you doing that. Mm-hmm. We talk about fruit of the Spirit.
Right.
Matches the lifestyle of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit-filled life. Verse 25. If we live for those who are Christ, having crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. So that means that those things should have no place within the redeemed of the Lord, within the church of God. Now, if something happens, we're not going to beat somebody over the head. We're going to bring them back to the word, love on them, encourage them to move as the Bible is telling, the pattern of the scripture is telling us to. Amen. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The Greek word for walk here is literally walk in line. Walk in line with. It's not the same as verse 16's walk. Verse 16 of this same chapter talks about walk, whose Greek form is the word usually used for physical walking. So verse 16 is not in connection with this verse that I just read about walking. It doesn't mean the same thing. But if we walk, it means, so if we, let us also If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in line with the Spirit. Everybody say that. Let us walk in line with the Spirit.
Let us walk in line with the Spirit.
To walk in line with the Spirit is to walk along the path that He has laid, not the path that we have laid. We lay a path for ourselves, and a lot of times we hit bumps in the road. We hit all these things, but we're walking the path. Our Christian life doesn't belong to us. We're not robots, but our Christian walk is walking the path that He wants us to walk.
Amen.
And also listening to Him. Listening to Him is so important. So we talked about pneumatology today. The study, that's a big word, the study